You're about to hear a preview of Partially Examined Life supporter exclusive content. To learn how to get the whole thing, check out partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. You're listening to the Partially Examined Life, episode 386, part 3. We are finishing up, well, hopefully finishing up, the sections assigned to us for this first Hegel Phenomenology of Spirit reading on spirit, right? We assigned ourselves 438 to 463, and we've gotten up to, what did I say, 451. We were just finishing. We had introduced the idea of the divine law, this sort of unconscious underbelly that is what is necessary to give rise to explicit custom and explicit laws by legislators, that this really has more to do. It's not obviously, you know, the husband and wife's love for each other or something. It has to do with the duties of the family toward the dead, primarily, which was very strange.
Yeah. So at the end of it, we get this weird statement that because it is only a citizen that he is actual and substantial, the individual, so far as he is not a citizen but belongs to the family, is only an unreal, impotent shadow. So on the one hand, the divine law of the family has something to do with burial and tending to the one who has died. But on the other hand, there is a sense in which he's already dead if he is not yet a citizen. So there's this association between death and family that is twofold. And I guess I'm not completely sure how they're related, but...
Well, he's not part of the spirit anymore, right? So someone before they are of age, when they're only children and merely a part of the family, it's like they don't exist from the point of view of the spirit. Mm-hmm. When they die, as we were saying last time, well, actually, it's all their legacy, their accomplishments, the way that they contributed to the social mores, that has sort of been reabsorbed. But qua individual, of course, they're not an active member of the living spirit because they're not living.
There's something suggested by the first sentence of 452. This universality, which the individual as such attains, is pure being, death. It is a state which has been reached immediately in the course of nature, not the result of an action consciously done. So in a certain sense, because it's not an act that has been consciously done, it's not consciousness, and so it's not spirit, and it's in the course of nature, which, when he says in the course of nature, kind of suggests that it's allied to the divine law, because it's not regulated by human law. We're assuming here that this isn't suicide or execution or whatever, capital punishment, I guess, but in a certain sense, the act of dying is the act of, I don't want to say removing oneself, but being displaced from consciousness. Actually, it's being displaced from consciousness, but becoming pure being, which is still spirit, I assume. But in any case, it's putting you back in the realm of nature as opposed to the human, I guess, is kind of what seems to be suggested.
Yeah.
I think pure being is not spirit because it is, right? It's not being in itself. It's not being for itself. It's not self-conscious dynamic being. It's just pure being.
It's the type of blank being that begins the logic, right, before being gets more articulated. So it's the point where being joins nothing. Nothing is being. Yeah, and so I think in this great case, right, we're literally describing, he's literally describing the death of someone. And to say it happens in the course of nature means it's a natural event and it's out of our control, right? It involves the body. And it's something that happens to us. That's the whole thing with it's not consciously done, right? We are passive before it. It's not our own action. I think even with suicide, right, the whole process of mortality of the body being destroyed is an organic process involving the laws of nature over which we have no control. But what we do have control over is what the family has control over with the burial ritual, which his claim is that it's a way of taking that natural process and subjecting it to consciousness in the form of the burial ritual. So it's almost like it becomes an act in that sense. It becomes the product of an act of a conscious, self-conscious being.
On 271 in the middle, there was a quote I liked also about the corpse. The dead individual, by having liberated his being from his action or his negative unity, is an empty singular, merely a passive being for another, at the mercy of every lower irrational individuality, and the forces of abstract material elements, all of which are now more powerful than himself. In other words, he'll be eaten by bugs and coyotes and crows or whatever. So yes, it is the job of the family to bury, to protect him from those things and make this death that is really an accident. I mean, it's an inevitable accident, but make it something that gets the stamp of society as this is something accomplished, something done.
Yeah, this is where I had one of those aha moments where I'm like, I read that gobbledygook and I understand what he's talking about. Oh, he's talking about people getting eaten by worms and decaying in the environment. It's like astonishing. You know, I feel like I'm learning a language or something, you know.
The part right before that, Mark, before the sentence you read, he says, blood relationship supplements then the abstract natural process by adding to it the movement of consciousness, interrupting the work of nature and rescuing the blood relation from destruction. Or better, because destruction is necessary, the passage of the blood relation into mere being, it takes on itself the act of destruction.
Cremation, maybe.
Yeah. We started off with an immediate, natural, unconscious event of death, which will lead to destruction, taking one out of, let's call it the ethical order, and putting it back into the body goes into the natural order or something like that, by the blood relation taking ownership of performing some sort of funereal or burial rites or cremation or whatever, you're essentially reclaiming the body or reclaiming the individual into the ethical order and taking ownership of its destruction, which imparts a sense of agency where there was none, which is, I guess, the same thing as saying it's returned to the ethical order.
Let me read the sentence in between the two that we read. Through this, right, the burying, the taking upon it, making it conscious, it comes about that the dead, the universal being, becomes a being that is returned into itself. A being for self, or the powerless, simply isolated individual, has been raised to universal individuality. So what he said before is pure, the corpse is pure being. Oh, now it's universal being. It's just stuff. It's matter. It's just a body. Has been raised to universal individuality. What do we think of that? I mean, this has definitely been the goal all along. Like, again, you think when you're making an ethical choice, you're making any kind of choice, that you're asserting your individuality, but really you are drawing on the universal. It is only ethical insofar as you are in accord with the universal. You're only spirit insofar as you're in touch with the universal. Universal individuality here, it just seems like, oh, this is what we do with bodies. This is how we remember the dead. You are now one among the tribe of ancestors. Whereas if we just left you to rot on the battlefield, then it's like we don't even care that you existed.
That phrasing right there in the sentence that you just mentioned, Mark, he uses similar wording in other places in the text where he says he's talking about individuality, and then he'll say, I'm not talking about a particular individual or an isolated individual. There's a way in which spirit can manifest an individual consciousness, and it's like he's talking about it abstractly. So in other words, it's almost like it's the type of consciousness that all of us have. So it's not Wes or Seth or Mark. It's the consciousness that Wes or Seth or Mark have. But because it's intentional, because it's subject, object, and whatever, it's still individual as opposed to collective or something like that. And this makes me think that he's talking about somehow the particular individual, the Mark or the Wes or the Seth, somehow being reclaimed or reconnected to that universals.
The universal individuality of the community, the individual community or something like that, or spirit.
If that sounds like the kind of thing that you want to hear more about, then please go to partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. Thanks for listening.